John 15, talk about pruning. Pruning. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. All right, so just remember the whole idea here of the vineyard. Christ is the vine. We, as his disciples, are the branches. God, the Father, is the gardener or the husbandman. The vine is what gives life to the branches. The branches are what's bearing fruit. The gardener is the one that's doing the pruning work. He's the one that's hauling stuff away, burning it, doing that end of it. That's not for us to do, to judge, to really stick our nose in, just realizing that God is in control of that as the Father. So he is the one that's doing the judging and cleansing of the garden and keeping up with that. Christ is the one that's giving the life and sustaining us. And then our job is just to carry out the ministry, to carry out what's being the truth and the energy that's being pumped into us. You know, we're carrying that out. We're living that out. We are producing the fruit in life to make more disciples and to continue on what Christ has given us to do. So several weeks ago, we looked at the command to abide in Christ and said if we are abiding in him, then we will bear fruit. Second, we are meant to bear good fruit, not just any kind of fruit, but good fruit. And then third, we're to bear much fruit. Last week we talked about some of the fruit that we see, or sometimes fruit that we see in other people's lives looks good for a while, but they're really not in the vine. But in time, that will be revealed and the truth will come out whether they are in the vine or not in the vine. But again, that's something that the Father controls. So, specifically in the life of the believer now. So those of us that are in the vine, you know, we do profess faith in Christ. Our faith is in Christ. So for us, what is the purpose of pruning in our lives? Sanctification. Okay, good. What else?
Making stronger in the Lord.
All right, makes us stronger.
It makes us have more room for increasing the fruit that we're bearing. It forces us as a true believer back into the Word, back to prayer, or just to be open with our fellow brothers and sisters so that we grow more.
All right, so it gives us a better capacity to grow and to have the strength to hold or to maintain that fruit. Is that a simplified way of saying it? All right.
So
when the tomato gets bigger, we don't just fall over. All right. So we have that strength within our
within the vine.
You know, we have the strength that our fruit will hold on to that, or it won't cause us to bend and break. Good. So kind of a maturing process, a growth process. All right. So sanctification. What did you say? What?
Growing stronger,
kind of this the maturation, bearing bigger fruit, better fruit. Anything else?
It reminds me of moving glory to glory.
Okay.
All right. Greg?
Send out the shoots. It grows.
Okay. All right. So the when you prune something, it actually has more growth there, unfortunately. For spiritually, it's a positive thing. If you're trying to prune a tree and you prune one branch and then you come back 6 months later, you got two or three of them coming out of that if you didn't, put some kind of stuff over it. But yes, ever. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Good. When something is harmful to the tree, you cut that off so it limits the harm. So just as in our lives, God's going to remove things that have the potential or that are harming us as well. Good.
You can also focus on specific fruit as well. So.
All right. Yeah. If you're trying to really specialize on a particular type of fruit, probably even like where you're trying to like graft in two things and get a specialty cut, hybrid fruit, then you're going to be much more intense on that. Yeah, good. All right, so system things, maturation, growth, so we can bear more fruit, better fruit. Somebody said honor, so that our actions are more honorable and glorifying to God as well. Good. And you all had some other things I didn't think of. So good. So here's another one. How would you, and I don't actually mean, I was trying to think of a, this is probably a poor question, but we'll try it anyway. How would you define or characterize pruning in one word?
Testing.
Testing. All right.
Correcting. Discipline, maybe?
Discipline.
I was thinking of chastening.
Chastening.
Growing.
Refining, growing.
Sharing.
Maturing.
This is sharing.
Sharing. Okay.
Also maturing.
Yes.
Didn't say shaping.
Shaping, no. All right, let me ask you this. What emotion, maybe, or a feeling would define or characterize pruning?
Pain.
Pain, yes, all right. I knew that was a bad question, but I mean, it was a good question. You had a lot of good answers for that. But, the thing we have to realize is pruning is painful. I mean, it just is. Fortunately, I guess trees don't feel pain, and I guess that's a positive thing. But it hurts when something's cut off in our lives. And we just have to understand that. But pruning is also part of the growing process. And if we want to grow and mature and have all those positive things that we talked about, then we're going to have to endure that pain a little bit. All right. Now, on the flip side, though, is bearing fruit supposed to be difficult or painful? No. All right. So the pruning part is, but the actual fruit bearing is not supposed to be difficult or painful. That's supposed to just be happening because we're in the vine, because we're in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's within us. All right. So Jesus said that his yoke's easy and his burden is light. So what does that look like? Because, I'm sure all of us would say we've had times in our life that we've, had burdens and they didn't feel real light. It was a heavy burden. We felt overwhelmed. We were at the end of our rope and, we could describe it in many other ways where we just felt really overwhelmed in life. James.
I know Ray Comfort, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Uh-huh.
He talks about, the gospel as being, like on an airplane. And he talks about you know, the stewardess says, put on this parachute, which is, you know, salvation. And so you can endure a lot on the flight knowing that you have that parachute on.
Okay.
As opposed to somebody who's on the ride just for pleasure.
Okay.
Know, so there's still hot coffee on you, you know. If you're on the ride, you're on the plane ride, which represents life, you know, you get upset about that. But if you know the plane's going down, you hold on tighter to your parachute, even if you get hot coffee spilled on you. Because, you know, you look forward to the jump to come. That's what he said.
All right.
But,
all right. Other thoughts?
I think the light yoke is that we have that assurance of our, like you're saying, assurance of our salvation, and that we know what the end of the road is, and we look forward to that glorious, you know, new body and being with Christ and worshiping Him forever, and just that overwhelming just sense of gratefulness that at the end, that I don't have to worry about, I don't know what's at the end of all this. Because I think of like bearing fruit, like His 12 mega fruit bearers, like they suffered a lot bearing fruit. They were beaten,
right,
stoned, almost to death.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like that's the light yoke that we have, is that we know the end, we know the outcome.
Okay.
And we can rest in that.
Did everybody hear him? Do I need to wrap it up? Did everybody hear him? Did you all hear him, neighbors? Okay. All right. Yep, Ever.
You know, it goes to the very essence of that scripture, verse 2, that, you know, the yoke back then, you know, we had a lot of farmers and planters and all that. That was a heavy wooden device, and I would imagine, you know, it would be a big burden on the man. So if there's two of them carrying it, and one of them is particularly strong,
right,
like Christ. Yeah, we're the one beside Him. He's lifting that road, making it easier for us to get through the struggles.
Okay. Yeah, good. Good effort. Yeah.
You know, I just looked along with the public. He said that also the church can be doing that as well.
Right.
One another and one another.
Yeah.
Take that burden on and let them do it. When we say we're going to take the manure and stuff like that, we're making paths straight, we're moving obstacles out of it.
Right.
So it makes
carrying
that burden lighter and easier as a church.
Yeah, good.
We need to take into consideration who he was talking to at that point, and the audience that he had.
Right.
That at that point, the Pharisees and all these other groups are putting a lot of burden on their,
yeah,
on their people.
Yeah.
So he's talking directly to the Jew of that first century that, you know, probably, and most of the Matthew, he said, you have heard. So most of those burdens were actually both not actually written by God.
Right. Yeah. Good. Because the scribes and Pharisees and pastor, were you in the 8:30 service?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the 8:30 service?
No.
No, okay. Because pastor just mentioned that this morning. I thought maybe you were piggybacking off what he had said. You'll hear it in 10:45. But yeah, you know, when you know, what was the command for us in the Old Testament was what? Don't do work on the Sabbath day. And that was all. That was all they were given, is just don't work on the Sabbath. But what did the scribes and Pharisees do with that? They tried to define what is work, and had, I think, 39 different items of what they considered work to be. All right, well, that's not what God defined it as. That's what they defined it as. You know, so in John 5, you know, for what Pastor preached on this morning, the man, when he said, take up your bed and walk, you know, it wasn't the walking, it wasn't that he was healed in that situation, but they were upset because he was carrying his bed, his mat, on the Sabbath day, and they considered that work, even though that's not what was said in the Old Testament. So, so they were adding all these extra things to the people, and over making them very, making life very burdensome for them. But, you know, I would say, you know, for me to answer that question, if somebody asked me that question, I would say that, you know, when with Christ being in the yoke with us, or having the Holy Spirit in us, then we have the capacity, we have the energy, the power to face the difficulties of life, realizing that, you know, I don't have to go through this alone. You know, I have strength within me to handle that. You know, I can't imagine how unsaved folks go through life's difficulties. You know, and I think, unfortunately, that's why, you know, often there's abuse of different substances or, you know, even, you know, suicide, because they don't know how to handle the problems that they're being faced with. You know, they don't have folks, a family that they can go to, or a broader group of people they have something in common with that will steer them in the right direction and help them. And so with us as believers in Christ, we have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we have a church body that will pray for us and that will help us and guide us through some of these things. But what does that take? It takes honesty and really humility to be willing to share those burdens. You know, we're commanded in the epistles to do what? Share our burdens. You know, to carry burdens. But you can't carry something if it's not shared with you. And so, you know, those two things go hand in hand. Chris?
Could you also look at, like, his yoke is his righteousness. And when you have his righteousness on, then the fear of this world should not be taken.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Right, because we, you know, as I think as James said, we know the end state, and so, you know, we're not going to fret and fuss and fear over death or sickness and different things. So, you know, mindset is, I know where I'm going to be, so I don't have to, you know, yes, I'm still going through those things, but I'm not without hope. You know, I'm not without help from others. And so, yes, good. You know, our job's to abide, and the abiding part's what takes the effort, isn't it? You know, in order to bear fruit, we have to abide in the vine. And so there is that tension, and we use that word a lot here, but, you know, the tension between I'm in the vine, but it's still my responsibility to abide in the vine. You know, it's the Holy Spirit's job to produce the fruit in me and through me and whatever, but I still have to be abiding in Him for that, you know, the nutrients and, you know, the water and everything else to get through to me so that the fruit can be produced. You know, so I'm not the one that's actually producing the fruit, but I'm making the effort. I am doing all that I can to be in the vine, which means that I am, you know, reading my Bible, I'm studying my Bible, I'm hearing the Bible, I'm hearing the things taught about the Bible, I'm hearing Scripture, I'm putting all of that into me. That's my nutrients, that's my, you know, my water, my, you know, all of that stuff, my food, my plant food, and, you know, all of that. You know, I'm because I want to have as much available for the Holy Spirit to utilize when that time comes. And so as long as I'm staying true to the Lord, I'm walking in obedience to Him, which encompasses a lot of stuff, and desiring for Him to have control over my life, then the fruit's going to just naturally grow out of that. But the effort on my part is the abiding and staying true and continuing to feed and make the time to do all of that. You know, so, you know, it is you know, we're working hand in hand. You know, and if you want more fruit in your life, we'll talk about this next week. You know, what is the, so where's the tension or the contrast in producing fruit and yet realizing you can't? So I'll leave you with that one for this week. You can think about that this week and we'll talk about that next week. You know, because a lot of times we, you know, I think our mindset or the mindset of people at some point is, you know, I want to bear more fruit. You know, so we try to force the fruit. So where is that tension of, you know, realize, okay, I can kind of produce fruit, but if I want true fruit, real fruit that comes from above, where is the tension in what I can do and what I can't do in that? All right, so ponder that this week, and we'll talk about it next week. John, would you close this in prayer?
Dear Father, we thank you for giving us the time to be here among our fellow believers and hearing your word. And I ask that you be with us the rest of this week, that we may be salt and light to our fellow citizens, our city, and neighbors. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.